15, verses 8 through 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 8 through 10. Then last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. My focus is on verse 10. Three times he uses the word grace. He says, I am what I am by the grace of God. And he says, his grace toward me was not in vain. Then he speaks in terms of his labor and how that he labored more abundantly than others. But he says again, but the grace of God, he said, it's not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Now, I want to speak to our theme today, but I'm going to use verse 10 and Paul's statement, I am what I am, in order to speak to authentic means and motivation for labor. He said, I labored more abundantly than them all. His labor was labor that was motivated by grace. I am convinced that if we have a good understanding of grace and understand why he made great reference to grace and why he was motivated to work in such an urgent way for the Lord, that you and I will come away having understanding and be encouraged in our labor as we seek to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. Now, understand the context of our lesson text is Paul responding to a question concerning the resurrection of the body. Many of the saints there at Corinth were unbelieving that a human body that would die and would go back to the elements of the earth could be resurrected and somehow be in keeping with what God had in mind when he preached to us and shared with us the gospel. Well, Paul wants the brethren at Corinth to understand that the very essence of the gospel centers around death, burial, resurrection. And he says that Jesus Christ himself, according to the scripture, died for our sins, buried, rose again the third day, according to the scripture. So if you have a problem with resurrection, then you have a problem with Christianity. You have a problem with the gospel. I don't know of any other religion that has the foundation of death, burial, resurrection like Christianity. If you take away the resurrection from the gospel and from Christianity, then you cease having a religion to live by, because that is the very essence and the foundation on which it is laid. Now, Paul gives witnesses to the resurrection. He says that Cephas, apostles, 500 brethren at one time witnessed the resurrected Christ. Then he says James. Then he says, and last of all, he was seen of me. Now, that's where our text begins. But because of his witnessing the resurrection of Jesus Christ and his being involved in the salvation process, he says that I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace of God. Well, who are you and what are you? I am an apostle. That's what he says. I am an apostle. That's who he is. But he says, I am an apostle by the grace of God. Well, when you think in terms of motivation for labor and motivation for work, I truly believe that when we get a good understanding that you and I will work even more diligently for the Lord like Paul did. Grace, ladies and gentlemen, is the love of God. Grace is the kindness of God. Grace is the goodness of God. Grace is the mercy of God. And grace is the power of God. Now, when you think in terms of grace being love, kindness, goodness, mercy, and power, you have to see that this goodness, love, mercy, kindness is bestowed upon fallen mankind. It is God doing for mankind what mankind cannot do for itself. God's grace is something to shout about. God's grace is something to be thankful for. And so, as I speak to you today, I hope that you will see from verse number 10, three things that I believe that Paul saw, and it was a part of his life because of this grace. The first thing that grace did for Paul was it created within him gratitude. I want you to understand, it created within him gratitude. And when I say gratitude, I'm talking about thanksgiving. When you truly understand grace and how it has been appropriated in your life, then it will produce thanksgiving. The second thing that it did was it produced and invoked in his life humility. He saw himself in a way that usually is diametrically opposed to the way that most men view themselves. And then the third thing is that he saw his labor as being empowered by grace. Now, if you will, grace. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Grace is a gift from God. God doing for you what you could not do for yourself. Well, the first question is, why did it bring about thanksgiving and gratitude in the life of Paul? Well, when you think in terms of verse number 8, he says, and I'm in verse 1 Corinthians 15:8, he says, then last of all, he was seen by me also as by one born out of due time. We'll discuss that later. For I am the least of the apostles who am not worthy. Now, grace will help you to understand, number one, that where I am and what I am, I'm really not worthy of the position and the place that I find myself. And so Paul is thankful. And I know that he's thankful. And I need you to put this on the screen. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse number 12. And the reason he's not worthy and doesn't feel worthy is because he said, I persecuted the church of God. So his past is that which makes him know that I would not be where I am if it had not been for the grace of God. Now notice how he really says how thankful he is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. As he speaks to Timothy, he says, and I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord. Notice he's our Lord. He's not just mine, but he's our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful. That's what grace does. Grace looks out for you. Grace comes to you. Grace counts you to be something that you don't see within yourself. That's God's goodness. That's God's grace. Are you with me? Watch this. for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Verse 13. Watch 13. Verse 13. Verse 13. All right. All right, y'all with me? All right. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. Saul of Tarsus, if you remember, met Jesus on the Damascus road. And he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou? He said, I am Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And he said, well, what would thou have me to do? He said, go on into Damascus, and there to be told thee what thou must do. And so here is a man who knows that his life was a life that blasphemed Christ, that persecuted the Christian way, that was injurious to Christians. But God's grace, God's mercy, God's love, God's goodness saw a man who was unable to save himself, who was going in the wrong direction. And because of the grace of God, Jesus showed Saul that he was the resurrected Christ. And he said, I did it ignorantly in unbelief. I wish I had time to really talk about that because here's a man who had access to the gospel. Here is a man who heard the gospel, but he refused to accept it. If anybody was going to be lost, it was Saul of Tarsus, because he had already turned his back on Christ. He had already turned his back on the gospel. And because of his condition, God saw in him something that he didn't even see in himself. Now that's grace. Oh, I wish I had time. I wish I had time. I know you say take my time, but you don't know where I'm going. So you got to let me go on. Now watch verse number 14. Watch verse 14. And the watching. And the what? The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. I'm talking about when you know where you've come from, when you know God is the one who brought you from where you are, it's time to be thankful. He said, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Well, you got to understand that all of us fit this category of sinners. For the Bible said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Well, since we all are sinners, then all of us are in need of grace. For the grace of God hath appeared unto all men. The grace of God hath appeared unto all men for salvation. But that grace that has appeared to all men for salvation is a grace that must be appropriated by faith, which means grace is God's part, but faith is your part. You've got to accept God's grace. That's why in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Faith, your part, through faith, not of yourselves. God's doing something for you that you can't do for yourself. Not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. When you know where you are, it's a gift from God. You know that God had, if God had not moved in your life, if God had not sought you out. Oh, I wish I could preach. Oh, I wish I could preach. I'm trying to tell you that that's just the way God has always been. Man, let me tell you something. Oh, I know y'all saying go ahead, but I'm going to tell you, Naaman is a good example. Naaman was a Syrian. Naaman was a man who didn't even know God, but God knew Naaman. And God, who is a good God, God, who's a gracious God, God, who's a loving God, God, who's a merciful God, moved in Naaman's life, and he does it in everybody's life. And I'm trying to tell you that you and I must understand that it should invoke thanksgiving that God cares that much about you, that he has sent his only begotten son into the world, that he would become the grace of God. Jesus Christ is the grace of God, full of grace and truth.
Amen, 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 amen. Well, Brother Gibbs, what else did it do? Not only did it invoke thanksgiving in this man's life, but it also invoked humility. And this was interesting to me because, you know, this is usually contrary to the way that we think. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 10, put that back on the screen for me. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10, I want you to watch this. He says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. So we know that that's where his thanksgiving comes. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Back up to verse number 9. Verse number 9 is what I need. Here's what he says. I'm going to show you his humility. He says, go back to verse 8. Go back to verse 8. I'm sorry, but I just got to do it. Now watch this. Watch this. And last of all, he was seen of me also. Watch the way that he refers to himself. As one born out of due time. Now that's interesting because that simply means that he sees his life sort of like a miscarriage. Another way some scholars look at it, he sees himself as an aborted fetus, born out of due time. Well, Paul, when you look at yourself and you're an apostle, well, how do you see yourself? I see myself as one born out of due time. And when you look at that description, he knows that there's no way to bring an aborted fetus back to life. The only way that an aborted fetus can come back to life is if until God does something. He said, now I know where I am, and I know I don't have no reason to boast. Now I know somebody wants me to get excited because I am an apostle. But when I look at myself, the way I view myself, I have no right to be called an apostle. I'm not even worthy to be called one. Now watch verse number 9. I got to hurry. For I am... Watch him. I am the least of the apostles. When you look at the apostles, I am the least of all of them. One born out of due season could also mean that I was not even part of the original 12. I fought against it. So I'm the least of the apostles. Well, what are you doing, Saul, Paul? I'm ranking myself. Well, how do you rank yourself? I'm the last of the apostles. Not even meet. Not even worthy. Not even fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Here is a man who ranks himself as the last to see the resurrected Christ, rank. I see myself as a miscarriage. Number 2. I see myself as least of the apostles. Rank number 3. In other words, instead of him trying to build himself up, he's putting himself down, down, down. In our society, we are a people who are always building ourselves up and up and up. And the more you put yourself on a pedestal and the more you build yourself up, the more you believe that somebody ought to do something for you and somebody ought to appreciate you for who you are. Let me show you how folk who don't know grace and they don't understand that they're where they are by grace, here's the way they talk. They're not doing me right. I deserve more than that. And whenever you feel like that, let me show you your attitude. Once you get in a mode like that, here's the way, instead of you having a good day, Instead of your day being a good day, you have a bad day because you see everything around you as negative. They must not know who I am. Wife ought to be glad I'm her husband. I mean, when we get to the point where it's no longer about grace, but it's about who I am and what I am, I'm trying to tell you, your whole attitude changes. And you set yourself up to be hurt. You set yourself up to have problems in marriage and everywhere else. But I guarantee you, if you ever catch on to what Paul is talking about, I ain't got no business being up here no way. I know I didn't say that quite right. I have no business being Sister Gibbs' husband. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that I'm her husband. Go. Oh, every morning I wake up, I'm thankful, baby, that you let me be your husband. Now you show me a person who knows that they're where they are by grace and who will humble themselves and rank themselves. In our society, we love to rank ourselves higher, and we feel like that's the way to get a job. That's the way you got to carry yourself on the job. You got to act like you somebody. I know y'all don't like this kind of preaching because it goes against the grain. But I'm talking about grace. Oh, I'm talking about grace. Listen to me. This man got to the point that he ranked himself less than least of all saints. Not only do I see myself as less than the apostle, I see myself as less than the least of the saints. You think I'm telling a story? Find it, Sheldon. Find it, Sheldon. Yeah, Ephesians 3:7-8. Now, I want you to write that down, and I want you to go back and read, because I got a long way to go. It's there. You know, the last point that I want to make, and then I'm through, is that labor and work, I'm talking about real, sincere, intense work, will come from a person who recognizes that I don't deserve to be where I am, but I'm grateful that I am where I am, and I'm grateful to who I am, what I am, but I know I am what I am by the grace of Almighty God. And since I know that I really have nothing to brag about, I have ranked myself, and I'm depending on Him. Now, this is where the power comes. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10, go back there, and I am through. It'll take me 10 minutes, but I am through. Watch what it says. It was bestowed upon me, but it was not in what? Say it with me. Not in what? But I what? Labored what? Why do you think he labored more abundantly than they all? Because he was a greater sinner than the rest of them. That's why I know the greater a man's sin is, the more abundantly a man will work. If you want to find a hard worker in the church, find somebody who is a real sinner. Now those folk who got halos all on their head and think they somebody, they don't work hard in the church. But you show me somebody who's been down and out, and then the Lord brought them up and brought them out and brought them in and gave them grace, mercy, goodness. Man, they worked their tongues out for God. Well, as I close, grace is more about intake than output. What do you mean, Brother Gibbs? Well, it's more about what's in you. The more you focus in on what's in you and what comes into you, the greater capacity you have to work. If your intake is more about what God has done, what God has brought, then the greater your output of work will be. That's why Paul will make the statement. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I know that I don't have power within myself. I'm really not deserving. I really have no business being where I am, but God gave me this wonderful position. And now, because I know that I've been saved by grace, I utilize the strength and the power of God. Sometimes when I go to the service station and I recognize that there are at least three grades of gasoline, and when I look at the three grades of gasoline, I got to be careful that I put the right grade in it. Somebody say, well, Brother Gibbs, why do you have to make sure that you put the right grade of gasoline? It's because if I put that cheap stuff in, that car of mine will start sputtering and it'll start backfiring and my cylinders won't work well. But if I get that good grade of premium gasoline, man, my car will hum and it'll work to maximum capacity. Well, Brother Gibbs, what are you trying to say? Here's what I'm trying to tell you. When you work off of your own ability and you work from your own education and what you've done for yourself, that's like putting that old cheap gasoline in your life. What you need to do is to get to a better grade of power. And when you know that you have put grace in your tank, that if it wasn't for God, I wouldn't be where I am. I wouldn't even have a husband, wouldn't even have a wife, wouldn't even have a child. I wouldn't have the use of my limbs and my ability. I'm trying to tell you, you live a whole much better life when you know where your power and your strength come from. It's God that woke you up this morning. It's God that will put you to sleep tonight. Well, I got to thinking about this thing called grace. And I said, well, Brother Gibbs, can you find more reality, a greater reality of the grace of God? When I thought about it, I said, well, if I'm going to look for it, I got to look for goodness. I got to look for love. I got to look for mercy. And when I look, I got to make sure that whatever I see is that the recipient couldn't do anything for himself. And so I started searching. And as I searched, I went all the way back to the beginning. And I thought about everything that God has done. It's all about the goodness, the mercy, and the kindness of God Almighty. As I looked, I thought about the world in which we live. And I said, out of all of the places in the universe, there's only one planet that has been made conducive for life and for our existence. And that planet is called planet Earth. You can go anywhere you want to in the universe, but God has so fixed it that you and I live on planet Earth. Well, God, show me your grace. Well, first of all, Shelton, I need to help you to see that everything I do, I'm doing it for man. and I'm doing it for his benefit. Because I don't need anything. And I don't really need this, but I'm going to do it for the man that I'm going to create. But I got to start with grace. Well, God, help me. What's the first evidence of your grace? Well, if I'm going to make man, I got to give him some light. So God gave the grace of light. God created light. Then God said, if I make man, I'm going to have to make sure that man understands that the world in which he lives is a world that has a firmament and it has a heaven, because he's got to have the right temperature and he has to have the right environment. So the only way I can do it, I got to put water in the heaven and I got to put water beneath. And when I created, God said, I can't just let him abide on water. I need to help my man to have a place where he can walk and where he can enjoy the world in which I create. So God said, well, I need to do it. And he did it out of grace. What he did was he made the dry land appear. And he said, I can't just give him this old dirt. I got to put some grass on it. And not only put grass on it, but I'm going to have to put some vegetation on it. I'm going to have to put some trees on it. Well, God, why are you doing it? I'm doing it out of my grace. I'm doing it. I know man doesn't deserve it. I don't even, I haven't even made him yet. And so therefore, he can't merit what I'm doing. But I'm going to carpet the earth. I'm going to put the grass and the trees and flowers on this earth. Then I'm going to give him the ocean. I'm going to give him lakes. I'm going to give him streams. I'm going to give him rivers. And when I get through, I don't want to just give him light, because I want him to understand that I got to divide the light. I got to divide the day into light and darkness. And so what I'll do, I will help the man. I'll put a sun in the sky, and I'll put a moon for night, and the sun for day. And the sun will rule the day and the moon night. And I put the stars there. I don't want to just give him lakes and rivers, but I'm going to put some fish in the rivers and in the lakes and in the ocean. Then I'm going to put some birds in the air, and I'm going to then give him beasts of the field. And when I get through with the earth, then my grace is going to go down, scoop up some dust. And when I do it, I'm going to shape the man, and I'm going to mold the man. And I'm going to make him in my image. And what you're going to do, God? Well, what I'm going to do, I'm going to make him different from everything that I've already created. This is the one that I'm going to put more than just life in, but I'm going to give him an eternal spirit. God did it, but he did it by grace. God, what you're doing? Well, I'm going to make sure that he knows that everything about his body, that I'm going to do it out of grace, out of goodness, out of mercy. Well, God, what you going to do? Well, I'm going to give him a mind. I'm going to make his mind better than all of the minds of the earth and the beasts of the field. What you going to do, God? I'm going to give him eyes. I'm going to give him two. I'm going to give him ears. Give him two. I'm going to give him a nose to smell his environment. Give him a tongue. Taste his environment. Give him a tongue. Let him speak and let him talk and communicate one with the other. But God, does he deserve it? I ain't talking about deserving. I'm just talking about my goodness. I'm just talking about my mercy and my kindness. God, what you going to do? Well, I'm going to give him two arms and give him two hands and give him two legs and give him two feet. I'm going to put bones in his leg and fix it where he can bend them. Fix it where he can turn it. I'm going to make him where the man can get around his environment. Well, God, what you going to do? Well, I know it's not good for man to be alone, so I got to give him some more grace. I'm going to put him to sleep, and I'm going to pull a rib from his side, and I'm going to make a woman. Well, I'm just giving him to him. He ain't asked for nothing. He can't ask for anything because he don't know what to ask for. So I'm just going to give it to him. Well, Brother Gibbs, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to tell you is that God is a God of grace. You wouldn't even be where you are. The breath that you breathe, the clothes that you have on your back, the house that you live in, car that you drive, money in your pocket, God gave it all to you. You ain't done nothing. You ain't nothing. You'll never be nothing. God said what I gave you. When you die, you won't take it with you. God knows everything you got. I gave it to you by grace. 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 Am I right about it? No. You ask me, well, what you doing with your chest stuck out? What you got your chest stuck out for? Listen, I know I need to quit. I watch these politicians walking around. Y'all need to vote for me. Down another person. I don't want to call names. I could. But only way he can get up is to put the other one down. The only way I can get up is put you down. Y'all watch this. You get these free tickets and you run out there.
Yes.
To listen to a man just brag on himself. Down somebody else. You show me a man who knows he's where he is by the grace of God. Then go listen to him. I'm telling you. I'm not talking about no one. I'm talking about all of them. If they ever knew that the breath that they are breathing is by the grace of God, they would humble themselves. Spend all that money. I don't have but one president. I don't have but one. And the one I have, he'll never extricate his position. His name is Jesus. He is my King. He is my Lord. He guides me all the way through life. It don't matter who's sitting in the White House. Let me show you how good God is. I know things go bad in your life, don't you? And you say, God, why'd you let that happen? But here's what he says to you. He says, I'm such a good God, he says, that I make all things work together for your good. If you love me and stay in covenant relationship with me, I'll turn your bad incidents, your negative moments, and show you how I work them out for you. People who live by grace, they sleep well. People who live by grace, the marriages are held together. People who live by grace are successful in business. We think humility is a weakness. Humility is a power that the world has not yet invested in and has nothing, don't even know what it is. You ought to be thankful to have a God like we have. He's a God of grace. I've preached long enough. You'll work your tongue out when you know where you are by grace. Sister Gibb doesn't have to ask me for anything because I'm going to work my tongue out to make sure, because I know I'm there by grace. I know y'all wanted me to say it. I ain't gonna say it.
Amen. It's all right,
happy. This Jesus that Paul talked about is a Jesus that is for all. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Every man, you must appropriate it. You must say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's by faith. You're saved by faith. Faith in him. And when you say you're going to be saved by faith, then it means you make him your master. You live by him. You become his disciple. You become his hands and his feet. And watch him bless your life. Fruit will just come all out of your life because you're doing it by faith in him. I'm asking you to give your life to this Jesus. I'm asking you to believe in him with all of your heart. Repent of your sin. Confess him to be the Son of God. Go down with him in the water grave of baptism, which is for the remission of sin. When you come up out of that water grave, you'll be a disciple of Christ. You'll have the Holy Spirit given to you. Yes. And God will empower you to live a victorious life. Will you do that? I pray that you'll come. Come right now while together we stand and sing. Will you come?
Amazing grace, how sweet a sound that saved a wretch like me.